Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm John Schumann with Medical Monday. Though there's been growth in medical schools over the last 10 years, including both more students per class and several new medical schools, there's still a relative physician shortage in many parts of the United States, particularly in rural areas. Even in many urban environments, there's a lack of needed specialty care. Aside from having patients drive hours to see specialists, many innovators have tried different methods of remote care, using tools such as telemedicine to offer help to patients in distant places. One such model involves training up the local healthcare workforce through the use of specialty content and case discussions using a medium to large scale consultative model. It started at the University of New Mexico in 2003, and it's fanned out all across the United States and to 26 other countries, a total of 175 institutions in all. It's called Project ECHO, in which ECHO stands for Extension for Community Healthcare Outcomes. The idea is fairly simple. Take a common condition like hepatitis C. This is usually the realm of gastroenterologists and infectious disease specialists. But since there simply aren't enough of those specialists to cover the millions of hepatitis C infected individuals, Project ECHO supports a hub-and-spoke model in which a specialist in hepatitis C can offer video conferencing content on a weekly basis and an opportunity for the local doctors to get advice on their cases from the specialists. This increases capacity by enhancing the knowledge of the local providers and allows more patients to be capably cared for in their local areas. Here in Tulsa, Oklahoma State University Center for Health Sciences has become a Project ECHO Center, offering collaborative care in a number of specialties to doctors throughout Oklahoma and neighboring states. One of those specialties is pediatric psychiatry, and my guest today, Dr. Sarah Coffey, co-directs that recently launched platform. Coffey is an assistant clinical professor at OSU College of Osteopathic Medicine and a board-certified child and adolescent psychiatrist. I spoke to her about OSU's Project ECHO program, and she's my guest today on Studio Tulsa Medical Monday. Dr. Sarah Coffey, welcome back to Medical Monday. Tell us about Project ECHO. I guess, what does it stand for?
Absolutely. So Project ECHO actually started in New Mexico. And it was started because a clinician that worked with patients with liver disease was noticing whenever the primary care docs would refer a patient to see him, patients would have to travel 3 hours to come see him. There would often be several months wait. And so he started Project ECHO really to bring the specialists to the primary care clinics across the country.
How did we pick it up here in Oklahoma?
Absolutely.
I mean, the ECHOs, ECHO throughout the country, it sounds like.
Yeah. I mean, so I think part of the reason is when you look at Oklahoma, Oklahoma is about 40% rural population. And so although we have a lot of specialists, oftentimes they kind of hold up in the urban environments. And so we still have a lot of need for rural primary care docs to be able to receive that specialty care. And OSU's mission is really being able to provide physicians to the rural Oklahoma area to make sure we're serving the community across the state. And so President Shrum brought on Project ECHO, kind of noticing that that was a need, noticing that her primary care physicians were asking for specialist care delivery, making sure that we were coordinating care. So Project ECHO started off with addiction medicine, with adult psychiatry, and we have a HIV viral ECHO as well as an adult psychiatry ECHO. And more recently, we've started our pediatric psychiatry ECHO as well.
Okay, so let's break it down into like how it actually works. So let's, I guess, assume for the moment I'm a rural patient, and I have hepatitis C, and I go to my local family doctor or primary care doctor, and it turns out I have hepatitis C, but he or she doesn't have a lot of expertise in dealing with it. So walk us through how Project ECHO might work in that scenario.
Absolutely. So what happens is that as a primary care physician, you'd have a patient that you're seeing that you need some advice on what steps to do next. And so you would really kind of present like a case report, just a summary of what's going on with the patient, and then that would be delivered to the Project ECHO team. I'll use our Project ECHO as an example. For pediatric psychiatry, we have two child and adolescent psychiatrists on our team. We have a pediatric neuropsychologist on our team. We have a pediatric psychologist on our team, as well as a clinical pharmacotherapist that works with medications. And so we'll get basically a report about what's going on with a kiddo in the clinic. Perhaps they're struggling with depressive symptoms or inattention and other issues. The primary care doc will let us know about family history, perhaps what medications have been tried. And then as a team, we'll kind of discuss what we think might be going on. So what will happen is that we'll meet together on a weekly basis. The primary care doc will be on this web-based call. And so we have the hub team, which consists of the experts or the specialists in the care. And then we have a primary care physician call in to describe what's going on with the patient. But we also have spokes. And so we have other primary care doctors. We might have therapists or other people in the community that are calling in to basically get some information about what's going on. In Project Echo, we start off with a 15-minute didactic presentation. So the specialists on the team will give a presentation on depression or anxiety. And primary care docs will get continuing medical education, which all doctors need in order to maintain their license. And they'll also learn a little bit about something that perhaps they don't have that information on. We'll discuss as a group if anybody has any questions. We'll do the case presentation. The group will also be able to ask the doc, you know, tell me some more information so I can have a better understanding of what's going on. And then the spokes, as well as the hub team, will provide some information about what steps to do next. Perhaps doing a rating scale to better understand what the patient is struggling with. Perhaps making medication recommendations or making a referral for therapy. And then the hub team will kind of do a, really provides like a list of information to that primary care doc as far as what steps to take next. We'll email that information to the primary care clinician, and then they'll really have a treatment plan in place about how best to care for that patient.
And so in a sense, then, the rural doctor who may lack the necessary experience or knowledge to care for this condition that they may not see that often, they're getting the value of a specialty consultation without their patient having to travel and without their having to, in a sense, travel or go to a meeting or, you know, get updated or, I mean, certainly they could look on the web. But so in a sense, if I'm thinking about it correctly, Project Echo really is building this community where it sounds like a lot of these doctors will call in maybe every week over, because it looked, according to the schedule, like a lot of it's over the lunch hour. So they're actually learning while they have lunch or whatever, and they're getting answers to their questions or answers that maybe they don't even have, but their colleagues may have, and they're getting that educational value. Is that a fair way to look at it?
Absolutely. I mean, the thought is that it's considered a physician multiplier. And so as a physician, you're able to call in on your lunch break every Tuesday, get some information fed to you that as psychiatrists we feel would be important in primary care, present a case that you might be struggling with. And as you understand through the didactic, as well as have the opportunity to care for that patient and learn what's working, the hope is that you're internalizing that knowledge. And so then when the next patient comes in with a similar presentation, you know what to do. So it's a little bit of a see one, do one, teach one, but we're helping physicians to be able to kind of do the work, keep the patient in the primary care office so that patients don't have to travel. They can be treated by their primary care physician, which quite often they want to be treated by their primary care physician, and be able to do that in real time.
And so you mentioned these other conditions. For example, I guess one that stuck out to me was obesity. So there's a there's a Project Echo for obesity. So we know this is a problem. I mean, we know that I think 2/3 of Americans, for example, are overweight, and you know, a third or more are actually obese by body mass index calculation. So how does Project Echo work for that? I mean, is it the same way as people come to the doctor and the doctor says, you got to lose weight, and the patient says, I'm struggling to do that? And so it's just, again, it's getting specialty consultation on whether to, you know, what diets to use or what medication, same kind of deal with teaching?
Absolutely. So Dr. Colony Fugate is the lead for the Obesity Echo and really focuses on pediatric patients. You know, she is certified in obesity medicine, and so she's able to bring that evidence-based kind of up-to-date information to clinicians so that they can put that into practice.
And another one I was curious about, too, was addiction medicine. So this is obviously a huge problem nationwide and in Oklahoma. We think about opioid addiction, but then, of course, there are many other. I mean, there's, you know, more commonly, of course, alcohol. But in addition, we have lots of synthetic drugs or methamphetamine. So how does, have you ever sat in on one of those sessions? Or I'm just curious, how is same thing, a consultation for what doctors in the community in rural areas can do for their patients who are seeking help for addiction typically, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I think a big component of that too is that there's so much evidence to support medically assisted treatment of addictions. But quite frankly, primary care physicians and psychiatrists and a lot of individuals that are practicing don't have the knowledge base to prescribe those medications. So again, it's giving them the didactic presentation so they have an understanding of what works and what the evidence is, but also giving them that real-time consultation with an addiction medicine specialist to say, yes, I would do this. Go ahead and do this. And I'm available if you need additional help along the way.
Do you have any sense from the more rural providers that use Project Echo as a service? I mean, what their, I mean, knowledge increases or what their satisfaction is? Because I got to think they must feel fairly isolated if they're working, you know, in solo practice or being in a rural area in a small outfit, and suddenly now they have this really powerful, you know, information-based tool, but with actual people on it to kind of support them. Is that the feedback that you get?
I do. And I can answer that in a couple of ways. I mean, I recently read a meta-analysis, which is really a paper that looks at a lot of different papers about how Project Echo is really affecting the community. And a big one is really increasing provider knowledge. So it kind of helps physicians to really educate themselves on these specialty aspects of medical care. But certainly being able to sit on even our adult psychiatry echo, there was a family physician that whenever we asked the spokes, these kind of the I'm quoting right now, but the non-experts about what they would do, it was quite lovely because a family physician said, well, I know from previous echoes that you would probably start this medication. And sure enough, the specialist on the Project Echo said, that's exactly what I would do too. So you see this kind of increased learning and confidence about what you actually would do. And in the sense I get from the providers that have been on the call is that they really find it to be beneficial.
You're listening to Studio Tulsa. It's Medical Monday. I'm John Schumann. My guest today is Dr. Sarah Coffey, who is a child and adolescent psychiatrist at OSU Center for Health Sciences. She's one of the specialists for the Pediatric Psychiatry Project with Project Echo, which has been adopted by OSU Medical Center. How long, Sarah, has Project Echo been going on there? A couple of years now?
Yeah, a couple of years.
Now, you said it started in New Mexico, I guess University of New Mexico in 2003. Is it in, I mean, do you have any sense of if it's in how many states it's in, or it's all over the country pretty much.
It's all over the country, and in fact, it's all over the world. So it's a international and beyond project.
Yeah. I mean, I've definitely gone to medical meetings where I've heard a lot about Project Echo, and I think specifically, it seems like at OSU, you mentioned HIV and hepatitis C. I'm certainly glad to hear it being used for mental health and addiction services, and we talked a little bit about obesity. Now, one of the other things that you're involved in is an integrated care model. And I think Project Echo highlights some of that, but give us an example of what you mean by integrated healthcare or healthcare delivery.
Absolutely. I mean, I think for a long time, mental health and physical health needs have been siloed. And so we've had an understanding of treating physical health needs like heart problems or liver problems, lung problems in one side of medicine, and then brain problems like depression, anxiety, ADHD in another side of medicine. And we know that whenever people come to the primary care doctor that they are not siloed, that they are integrated. So integrated care can mean a lot of different things. But what we're really wanting to have happen is that behavioral health or emotional health needs are being treated in primary care, that our patients that are in community mental health centers or that primarily get their health care in behavioral health centers have primary care docs there, which is called reverse integration, that you have primary care in behavioral health centers. But quite frankly, there's a lot of different ways and different models to do integrated care.
So are there specific ideas or manifestations of that you're working on now? Or one of the things that we talked about was, and we're doing a little foreshadowing here, but the Tulsa Mental Health Plan is going to be released at the end of the month in a big public forum. But you were involved at least on the child psychiatry part of that, where you were interviewed and worked with the national consulting firm that was brought in. Mm-hmm. What were some of the things, I guess, that you can share with us about the Tulsa Mental Health Plan with regard to child psychiatry or integrated mental health care?
So you're right. I had the opportunity to sit on the steering committee for the Tulsa Mental Health Plan. I was the chair of the child mental health section. And certainly we had a focus as well as on integrated care models. One thing I think is important to know is that Tulsa does this already a bit. We have the CPC Plus model that's really been widely successful here in Tulsa. We also have Impact and other health homes here in Tulsa that are really looking to integrate behavioral health and physical health needs as well. But there's also other models. And another one that I'm a big proponent of is the collaborative care model. This is a model that really embeds a behavioral health clinician in primary care. There's a psychiatric consultant that kind of helps make recommendations on what to do next for a patient population. It's population-based health. And this model actually has over 90 randomized controlled trials that show that it's effective. And it's another way to really meet the needs of patients in the primary care setting and really help them with their mental health needs.
So will we see that grow? You mean after this Tulsa Mental Health Plan is released, will that be one of the recommendations? Or do you think we'll see more integrated care down the pike?
I hope so. I mean, again, as someone that's worked in integrated care settings in pediatrics, that continues to work with them now in Oklahoma Health Homes, and just noticing the importance of bringing this all together, I think that would be something that would be really beneficial for Tulsa.
Tell us a little bit more about Oklahoma Health Homes, because when, you know, I think a listener hears that, they think, oh, you're talking about like a nursing home or something. That's
right.
Not what you mean.
Yes, no, that's very true. And it's an important clarification, because we have home health and we have health homes, but really, Oklahoma Health Homes are another population-based care model. And so they're behavioral health clinics that serve a lot of patients with depression or anxiety or perhaps other severe and persistent mental illness. And really what the health homes are now tasked to do is to not only manage and make sure that their behavioral health needs are met, but also make sure that their physical health needs, their diabetes, that their blood pressure is getting better as well. So again, it's integrating that whole person philosophy and making sure that not only primary care, but also behavioral health is looking after the patient as a whole.
And I just want to highlight for listeners, going back for a second to Project ECHO, that it actually, ECHO is an acronym, even though it, of course, has symbolic value as echoing the specialty care, but it stands for Extension for Community Healthcare Outcomes. And that's where the ECHO fits in. And Sarah Coffey, you really just launched the Pediatric Psychiatry ECHO project. So how is it going so far? And I guess, what have you experienced?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going great. You know, so we've had two Project ECHOs for pediatric psychiatry thus far. And in our first Project ECHO, we had 21 participants call in, which was really a phenomenal number. Sitting there in the hub and hearing the cross conversations that were going on between the pediatrician that presented the case and other therapists and family physicians, I learned a lot, even as the, quote, expert on the team, about things to look out for from a medical side. So the feedback we've gotten so far is that it's been really positive. I think it's shown in our continual support for people showing up for it. And I'm excited that it's going to grow and just continue to be able to meet the needs of the community.
You know, it reminds me really of a virtual version of something like a tumor board, which, I mean, sounds scary, but basically we bring providers of different disciplines together to talk about a specific problem or set of problems and all bring their kind of perspective and knowledge to bear and really come up with what is kind of the best set of solutions for that problem. I mean, it's really, that's what it's, you're using the technology to enhance that, because otherwise all these doctors or nurse practitioners are out there kind of struggling alone, as it were, with their patients and not necessarily knowing what the latest might be. So you really are building this sense of community. I mean, it's really an integrated technology case conference. So one question that bubbles up for me is, you mentioned that Dr. Shrum brought this in. I mean, what does it take for an institution like OSU or anywhere to become like ECHO accredited? Or, I mean, is there some intellectual property? I know if I looked on the New Mexico website, you have to sort of sign some agreements, and I guess you license this. But is there money that changes hands, or do you have to buy this as an off the shelf product, or do you know any of those details?
So not the particulars, but I do know that there's a cost to this kind of service, and so certainly that's something that OSU has invested in because they really see the need, but also because we want to be truthful and I guess respectful to the model of it. There are certain things that we have to do. So we need to make sure that we have that didactic presentation every time. We need to make sure that we're doing a pretest for our people that are signing in so that there's some, I guess, validity in the information that we're giving them. And there are certain kind of models that we need to make sure that we're following so that it really fits kind of what Project ECHO is all about.
So now that you're underway with Project ECHO for Child Psychiatry, how do you anticipate it'll grow in the next, you know, months and years?
I mean, we've actually aren't even talking about that. So Dr. Cheshire, who is my co-lead on Project ECHO, she is actually infant mental health trained. And the thought is that perhaps we might have to split because the need really is so big here in Oklahoma that we might have an infant-focused Project ECHO and then more of a child and adolescent-focused Project ECHO. Again, I can't highlight enough the need for mental health services, specifically with specialists and child psychiatry and neuropsychology. I think the need is great, and I anticipate that will just continue to grow.
But so in planning for this every week, it puts you as the academic and as part of the hub sort of on the block. You have to prepare some content, or you or your colleagues, so that there's always some, I used to call it didactic, but there's some material that you're reviewing for the sake of the docs out in the community who are going to be getting an update, so to speak, on whatever topic you may choose. Are the topics generally directed by their questions or their clinical cases, or is it just on some kind of set curriculum that appears periodically?
Mm-hmm. So myself and Dr. Cheshire, we were the ones that really looked at the didactics, and we do a lot of work with pediatricians. And so I think a lot of how we decided what we were going to talk about came from our own experiences in the community and what we thought could be helpful. So we, you know, we have a block where we're talking about mood disorders like depression. We have a block that we're talking about anxiety or ADHD, sleep disturbances, school testing. But certainly within those presentations, other questions might come up and we're happy to address whatever really is the need of the pediatrician or primary care doc that's calling in.
How does Project Echo make itself, how do the docs in the community know of it? In other words, how is it publicized that this is an opportunity that's available to them?
Yeah, so I mean, I'd like to give a shout out to Tara Jackson and Dr. Joe Johnson, because I think they do a lot of work in making sure that primary care docs are aware of this. And certainly, again, OSU has a big emphasis on providing primary care physicians to the community. So I think a lot of it comes from just knowing what our primary care physicians that are already out there need and just letting them know, hey, this is available.
So the existing network of, you know, be they OSU grads or people that have, you know, come to the medical center for one reason or another or trained there, that's, it's like the alumni email list, so to speak. I mean, it's not so hard, you're saying, to publicize this across Oklahoma so people are aware of its availability.
Absolutely. You know, and the work that I do for the Department of Mental Health and Health Homes, that's something that we've promoted to them. We've had some health homes call in as well, do the Project Echo for pediatric psychiatry and actually for obesity and adult psychiatry too. And also looking at your colleagues at OU. So we've talked to the pediatric department over there. And really anybody that wants to call in is available to call in. And we encourage all primary care docs, therapists, and other people that want to learn more about it to please join us.
You know, one thing I wonder too is it an opportunity? So are there cases, and it may be too early for you to know this, at least in the pediatric psychiatric realm, but in the other realms that have been more established, where a patient actually will come to the hub for treatment? I mean, if it's something that's so complicated or it's just something that doesn't work out or you try something and it doesn't work, I mean, is it a consultative model like that, or is it strictly, you know, over the phone wire / internet wire?
Yeah, so for Project Echo, it really is strictly that kind of over-the-phone, web-based kind of video conferencing that we're doing. But with our recommendations, we certainly do make specific referrals to people in the community that we think might be helpful for therapy, or if perhaps we feel that really this patient is deserving of a psychiatric evaluation, we'll also make referrals to people in the community that could be helpful in diagnosing and treating the patient if it feels like it might be out of the scope of the primary care clinician.
You're listening to Studio Tulsa. It's Medical Monday. I'm John Schumann. My guest today is Dr. Sarah Coffey, who is a child and adolescent psychiatrist at the OSU Center for Health Sciences. She is one of the specialists in the pediatric psychiatry project of Project Echo, which stands for Extension for Community Healthcare Outcomes. And a Project Echo started in New Mexico, the University of New Mexico in 2003, and has echoed across the United States and has echoed into Oklahoma for a couple of years now. And Project Echo provides consultative services in mental health, as well as in addiction, HIV, hepatitis C, and obesity. And Sarah Coffey, you are, I think, co-hosting or bringing a conference to Tulsa in May that you wanted to tell us about?
Absolutely. So kind of on this notion of integrated care and ways that we can work together with primary care and psychiatry, the American Psychiatric Association will be coming to OSU on May 30th from 1 to 5 p.m., to host a collaborative care training. So again, this is a way to integrate mental health into primary care. And it's a training that's free for clinicians. And we offer continuing medical education credit. And we'd love to have psychiatrists, internal medicine, family medicine, pediatricians, and really anybody who's interested in collaborative care, come join us.
Last time you were here, you were telling us about trauma-informed therapy, and you are, as a child and adolescent psychiatrist, work primarily with a young population, but you've also done some work in the public schools, mm-hmm. and I was just wondering if you could update us on all of that.
Absolutely. So that's something that's very near and dear to my heart. So myself and my colleagues at OU, Dr. Heath Mueller and Dr. Tori Taylor, who is a child psychiatry fellow over there, are doing a mindful educators project with Union. And so we're helping to introduce mindfulness to teachers in the public school setting through a trauma-informed lens. So we're using what's called the ARC treatment model, which stands for attachment, regulation, and competencies, really to help educate and to provide support for the teachers that are really doing a lot of wonderful work with our students in the classroom.
And how receptive are teachers to mindfulness? I would guess they're probably very receptive, because I think in some ways the job is hard enough just dealing with, you know, kids that can be rambunctious. But then you have all of the sort of political, social issues of being an educator in Oklahoma right now. It's got to be something that's very welcomed.
I think so, too. And I think, you know, it's been lovely to see the response that we've gotten from a lot of our educators. I'm just thinking of today, our fellow Dr. Taylor got a big hug from one of the teachers, and she was so supportive of the work that we're doing. It's not for everybody. And so I think that there might be some individuals that are a little bit curious about the work that we're doing. But for the most part, we're getting really good responses from the educators that we're working with.
So when you say it's not for everybody, it's not something that's mandatory for teachers. It's not another mandate. I mean, this is something that's purely optional that they can choose to attend if they want to.
Yes and no. So we're really, we've been really gracious to work with our public school, because it's incorporated into a part of the schooling that teachers are already needing to be there. So it's very highly encouraged, but certainly if there's certain reasons that the educator chooses not to be there, as the one providing the intervention, we certainly let them opt out.
And one thing I was thinking about this a little bit earlier, but when you talk about trauma-informed therapy or in schools, you're particularly trying, I think, if I'm not mistaken, to sensitize teachers to children who have been victims of trauma or who have adverse childhood experiences. But in addition, I mean, in some ways, just being a teacher in Oklahoma is sort of an adverse experience at the moment, or has been for some time. So the mindfulness training and the trauma-informed therapy is really has sort of almost like a double meaning, does it not?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You know, we had the opportunity to have Dr. Robert Anda, who was the physician that worked with Dr. Vincent Folletti. And these names we should know because they've done a lot of work on what's called the Adverse Childhood Event Study. Which really highlighted that the more adverse experiences you have in childhood, whether that be emotional abuse, physical abuse or neglect, these kinds of issues really play a role in your overall health, mental and physical. And one thing we know is that, you know, 2/3 of people across the nation have at least one adverse childhood event. And so when we're focusing on trauma, we need to not only look at children, but also ourselves as adults, because oftentimes we're dealing with our own difficulties and struggles, and that plays a role in our interactions day by day.
One of the other things that's gone on at the OSU Center for Health Sciences is that Project Echo has been really kind of a totemic program for really helping, improve mental health in the community. And as you mentioned, this kind of hub and spoke model and out in rural areas. But you have really over there grown the psychiatry department. I mean, it used to apparently not have a training program, but now you're training, you have psychiatry residents. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about the evolution of that.
Absolutely. I mean, again, I think this comes from OSU recognizing the need for more psychiatrists in Oklahoma. So we're in our second year of having adult psychiatry residents there. We have 5 residents per year, and we're excited to be growing as a department. You know, the need is huge for psychiatrists, both adult and child psychiatry. And so we're really great to be here and to be with OU. And they're a general psychiatry as well as a child and adolescent psychiatry fellowship program, because the need is so great. So we keep on growing.
Well, Sarah Coffey, it's been great talking to you and learning a little bit about Project Echo. Sarah Coffey is a child and adolescent psychiatrist at the OSU Center for Health Science. And she visited today to talk about Project ECHO, which stands for Extension for Community Healthcare Outcomes, that is firmly embedded at OSU Center for Health Science and provides specialty consultative care to primary care doctors across Oklahoma and particularly in rural areas. Sarah Coffey, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, that's our show for this Medical Monday. Studio Tulsa is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of KWGS or the University of Tulsa. For Studio Tulsa, I'm John Schumann with Medical Monday. Thanks for listening.